Okay, hi. My name is Rachel Powell, and I am a second-year PhD student at the University of Georgia, and so I'm going to share a research project that I did with you my first year, and I have no relationships to disclose. So as we've seen in previous presentations today, breastfeeding is recognized as the preferred method by plenty of national organizations here in the U.S. that are listed on the slide, and also internationally by the WHO. And so because of this importance that we've recognized breastfeeding as being the best choice and the preferred method, there have been several objectives that have been included in the Healthy People document. For breastfeeding initiation, breastfeeding at 6 months and at 1 year, and then also exclusively breastfeeding, which is just breast milk, doesn't include any formula, at 3 months and then at 6 months. And as you can see in this graph, objectives were included in 2010 and also 2020. And even though we did not reach those objectives in 2010, we have been challenged to get even higher rates for 2020. So that really puts us at work. It gives us a goal that we need to reach as public health professionals and as health educators to be able to reach these objectives. So through this project, there was a partnership created between the University of Georgia and with two organizations in the community. At the University of Georgia, two departments were included: the Department of Health Promotion and Behavior, which is in the College of Public Health, and the Department of Foods and Nutrition, which is in the College of Family and Consumer Sciences. And we worked closely with the WIC office in Athens, Clark County, and then also with Full Bloom Pregnancy and Early Parenting Center, which is an independent center in the Athens and Clark County, and it serves moms, WIC, or any mom, no matter if they're low or high socioeconomic status. And they have several different educational sessions on breastfeeding, early parenting. They have like Baby and Me, which includes music and education. So they work with all types of topics, not just breastfeeding. And so the goal of the project was to gain a holistic understanding of the current breastfeeding practices and experiences of both mothers and clinicians in the Athens-Clark County area. But particularly for this presentation, I'll only be focusing on the mothers. And the objectives were to interview mothers to gain their understanding of their experiences with hospitals, family, friends, and community resources, and then identify areas of improvement and cues to action for clinicians. So the mothers were recruited from Full Bloom and WIC through flyers and word of mouth. Each mother was screened by UGA graduate student and was scheduled for an individual interview. And we had 12 WIC mothers and 9 Full Bloom mothers participate. And each WIC mother that participated did receive a $25 gift card as an incentive. And this was approved by University of Georgia's IRB. So as you can see in this graph, these are the participant characteristics, and this is all self-reported data. The Full Bloom mothers were older and more educated, but the WIC mothers were actually more diverse. And again, this is self-reported data, so these are the rates of breastfeeding by WIC participants in the first 6 months. So we had 45 that stated that they participated in exclusive breastfeeding, compared to 55, which is mixed feeding, which includes breastfeeding and formula feeding. And for Full Bloom, we had 70 say that they participated in exclusive breastfeeding, and 30% participated in mixed feeding. So the Full Bloom mothers, more of them participated in exclusive breastfeeding. So after the interviews were done and transcribed and coded, we found 4 main themes from our interviews: social influence, work environment, honesty, and then hospital and clinician practice. So, and for the next few slides, any of the text that's in royal blue are direct quotes from the mothers that we pulled from the interviews. So with this first theme, we talked mostly about role models with the moms. They shared their experiences. And a lot of the research has shown that we need to involve partners and fathers in breastfeeding educational services that we give to the mother. But a lot of moms did talk about their experiences with their moms, which are the grandmothers of the infants, and how much of an influence that they had. And so the second quote says, "My mom breastfed us, and I know breast is best." So fortunately for this particular mother, her mother was able to educate her, give her information on breastfeeding. But we also have mothers who shared with us that their mothers were against breastfeeding. They thought that it was gross. In their time, you just don't breastfeed. That's not something that you do as a mother. So we have to realize that we need to include these grandmothers if possible, because they are positively and negatively influencing the mom's choices to breastfeed. And because it is their mom, they usually listen to what they say. As new mothers, they're pretty nervous, so they tend to listen to the grandmother. And so the second quote is, "I had a friend who had a baby right around the time I had my son, and we pumped together at lunch. It's like a sisterhood of finding a woman who values breastfeeding and going through it together." So we understand the importance of social circles and moms coming together and being able to share this experience, especially in a work environment where they may not be supported. They're able to support each other in these kind of circumstances, and we see the value in their friends and family, and using them as role models. The second part of the social influence theme is positive deviance. And positive deviance is an approach developed in the 1970s by nutrition experts, and it addresses knowledge gaps by assessing people who are deviants from the norm. So in breastfeeding, we know that typically if you're a lower socioeconomic status, you're not as educated, and you're part of a minority population, you probably have lower rates of breastfeeding. But in certain moms, like in the WIC moms, we had mothers who were a part of all of these things. They were low socioeconomic status, low education, and minority population, but they still breastfed. And so we really need to look at these moms and see what is it that they're doing that we can learn from them. We can use them as role models. We can use them to help other mothers, like some of the presenters were saying, use them as peer counselors or peer educators. And so the quote says, "It was rough. It was really rough, and I was hurting a lot. He was not latching on right, so it wasn't that great of an experience at all. I hope with another child that it would work a lot better. I still want to try it with my next child." So this mom, even though she had a really difficult time, she still wants to persevere and try breastfeeding. And so we need to look into the education that she's gotten or getting, the support that she's getting, and be able to learn from this to see what can we do to use this for future mothers. The work environment. So out of the moms that did report that they did work, we had 31% report positive work experience, which was great because it was higher than 23%, which is the percentage for negative work support. And we know that the work environment is a huge barrier to a lot of moms, depending on where they work. Once they go back to working, they're not able to keep up breastfeeding because they're not getting the proper support. They don't have the places to pump or store their milk. And so the first quote says, "At one point my boss came to me and was like, 'You are pumping too much,' which kind of irritated me. I was pretty offended." And the interesting thing about this quote is that this was a NICU nurse from the local hospital. And so we can see the inconsistency that we're getting from clinicians. Doctors and nurses are telling us, you know, you can breastfeed, you can do it once you go back to work, it's possible. But yet, when it came to this mother's turn as being a NICU nurse and also being a new mother, she wasn't getting the support. So it's important that we look at the work environment and the different angles and how it's influencing mothers' experiences, breastfeeding experiences. And the second quote talks a lot about how mothers, or other women, I'm sorry, were not supportive of this mother. And we typically think of women kind of coming together, supporting one another, but we need to prepare the mom to be able to go back into the work environment, no matter what work environment it is, women or not, just be prepared for anything. So the third theme is honesty, and the first quote, I think, kind of sums it up. We prepare for childbirth and know that will be painful, but they don't prepare you for breastfeeding. Even this last time, I can see why people stop. It's rough, but when you get past it, it's fabulous. So this mother shared her experience of she knew childbirth was going to be hard. It's not something fun. It's going to be difficult, and it's an individual experience. There are some moms that are in labor for a couple hours. There are some moms that are in labor for 12 hours, and so she knew to be prepared for whatever. But when it comes to breastfeeding, we often just frame it as do it. It's great. It's the best. You need to do it. It's the most healthiest. But we're not really giving the moms the true picture of what's to come. We're just saying do it. And that kind of goes to the third quote. I just wanted more of the specifics. This mom was just saying that the doctor kept saying, you can do it. Just do it. But she's like, how? What are the different holds? How can I do it? What if I come up against this? What can I do? And so it's important to stay in contact with this mom, that she has somewhere to turn depending on what issues she might have in her individual experience, and that we're honest with her so that she can be empowered and educated to continue to breastfeed. And the last theme is hospital clinician practice. Majority of the mothers reported negative clinical support. They had mixed experiences, so they said depending on who they came in encounter with, they might have gotten a lot of support from their doctors, but when they were in the hospital, they had a lot of difficulty with the lactation consultant or the nurses. And so we know that it's very important to be consistent depending on what the mother wants and help her get to her goal in her plan. Just as mothers have birth plans, you know, they need to, the doctors and the nurses and everyone involved needs to be very supportive of what her plan is for breastfeeding and be consistent in giving her the education. And WIC peer counselors were often mentioned as very resourceful after hospital discharge. And the first quote states, nursing staff did not provide any breastfeeding support until the last day when they asked which formula I wanted. So we can see that asking which formula you wanted, this mother is equating that with breastfeeding support, but that's not really any support at all. They have nothing to do with each other. So it's important that we differentiate these two and that we are truly educating the mom on what breastfeeding is and what the support that she has available to her. And oftentimes we know that the hospitals do not have the opportunities to offer these peer counselors as WIC. So in Athens, we're currently working on hopefully building a community partnership between the hospitals and the WIC counselors, because they have been shown to be so helpful and to kind of fill that gap where the hospitals just don't have the time or the resources to be able to help these other moms. And so a key result that we found from our presentation is that initiation of breastfeeding relies on the education that the mothers are getting from the clinical support, whether that be the doctors, midwives, nurses, or lactation consultants. And that education and support for breastfeeding through prenatal care empowers the mother to be able to initiate. If she feels like, I know what I'm doing, I've gotten the proper education, I can at least try this. We had a lot of moms say that they didn't know how long they were going to be able to do it, but they felt that they were educated enough to be able to try it, and that's really important. We also had some moms say that it wasn't even on their radar, but through individual conversations with the doctors and with the nurses and the WIC counselors, they were able to learn more about it and try it, and that's great. And because we know that all moms, it's not possible to breastfeed exclusively for a year, but if a mom makes a goal, we want to make sure that she reaches that goal and that it's truly an individual experience for her. And so continuation of breastfeeding is important and possible through the support of the partner and the peers. And if women feel like their partners and their peers and the people at home, their family members, are supportive of them, they really feel empowered to be able to continue this experience once everyone's gone away, once the doctor's gone, once the lactation consultants are not checking on them anymore, they don't have the WIC peer counselors, they feel like they can do it if they have people around them who are supporting them. The baby's father, whether it be their husband or whatever, is on board with them. They feel like they can truly, they have the support to be able to continue this. And so the recommendations we had is help mother obtain her realistic goal. A lot of the WIC moms said that it wasn't possible because of their work circumstances to be able to breastfeed for a year. But if she makes a goal, it's really important, we think, for her to reach that and increase her self-efficacy so that she can feel like she reached her personal goal. Involve the grandmothers of the infant in educational sessions. And there's a need for, like I talked about earlier, the community and hospital breastfeeding peer counselors to kind of use each other's resources and tell the mothers about the resources that are available throughout the community, not just where they are. And also possibly using these positive deviants, these moms that we identify as being able to rise above their circumstances, using them maybe as peer counselors in the future. And educate and prepare mothers for their work plans, for their plans in their work environments to be able to continue breastfeeding once they're at work, if that's in their goal. And then using text messages and email reminders for class, because a lot of the moms said that they were forgetting about it and they didn't know when it was. There was so many things going on, they couldn't remember. They don't know where that paper was that they gave them months ago. So kind of just checking up on them and using them and reminding them that these classes are here for you. So we want to thank the mothers for their time and sharing their stories and experience. We want to thank all the graduate students that were involved in data collection and Dr. Anderson, who really guided me through this project, and the Community Breastfeeding Coalition. They provided the gift cards for the WIC moms, so we're appreciative to them for that, and the East Athens WIC Clinic and Full Bloom for providing the space to actually hold the interviews. And this is my contact information. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much. That was just a great group of presentations. At this point, we kept on time, so we can open it up to questions that people may have for different presenters. Yeah.
Calling was best. And then they also set up ride share for people that they, they did lion's share work at the WIC offices to get the women there. And, you know, there were some where people brought friends and, you know, we ended up with more people than we actually needed. So, yeah.
We're still working on it. We had thought when we originally tested the webcams out, the resolution looked really good, but then on our IBCLC, we only have one in the Ohio Southeast region. And so when she started to actually work with some of the other counties, it wasn't as good as it should have been. So we're still trying to work through some of that stuff right now. The other thing that we discovered as they really started to use them was it was like the old cell phones. There was a pause scenario with the way the transmissions went. So we're kind of working with it a little bit. We stepped back a little bit with that, but we're continuing to want to use it. We just have to kind of look at it a little bit more. So we're still working on it. Right, she comes into her standard WIC clinic, and it's the peer helper or lactation consultant who doesn't need to be an IBCLC necessarily, right there at that particular her home WIC clinic. And then they contact.
They go to their home
WIC clinic, and then they contact the regional IBCLC, and they have their little webcam conversation. No, we gave her we gave that county some extra funding for her time. Well, thanks. Let's give them another round of applause.